Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
We're going to be talking about MeFOs today.
Oh, God. You really went with that joke, didn't you?
We're gonna talk about MeFOs.
Oh, you want me to yes and that, so then you can say...
MeFOs.
UFOs.
You nailed it. This is comedy.
And this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we identify unidentified flying objects and objects on the ground.
Yes, like that is a plant outside my window. Mm. That is a house. That's my neighbor's car.
What's this? That was a UFO.
Oh, because I couldn't identify it because you threw something out of frame of your webcam. And then I heard it knock something, but I couldn't see it. So it's unidentified.
Nothing broke.
Oh, okay, good.
Although Wally's very interested in it now. What's up, man?
Not much. It's 2020, which means anything is possible. And in that vein...
Is it possible that I'm John Began?
Oh, I'm Nick Wood.
Okay.
I forgot our normal cadence. I have so much going on. For those that are listening the day that this episode comes out, I've got... two webcams, I've got Facebook Live going, I've got you over here, I've got that program streaming everything, I've got my notes, I've got my notepad. So, all that to say, I'm just making excuses at this point. So, anyway, John, have you been abreast to the news lately?
That was very tastefully done, Nicholas. A little scandalous, the way that you said that, but overall... Yes, I've been abreast of the news, Nicholas. I've seen the aliens are among us.
Yeah, because as I was getting ready to say, it's 2020, which means that anything can happen. And in that vein...
I'm sorry, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
It's 2019.
Oh, yes. I wish it was. Holy cow, who would have thought? I'd be wishing for 2019 over 2020. But here we are. Yeah. And in that vein of chaos constantly raining down upon us... There's been a little bit of whisper of and talk of aliens in the news lately. In fact, you're the one that showed it to me because I don't watch the news anymore because I don't want to be depressed more than I already am. So I get my news from you and my wife and my brother, and you sent me this New York Times
article. My news from my, like, I have Apple News on my phone, and it bullies me into learning things. Like, when I don't want it, it'll be like, hey, did you know that more people are dying from COVID? Like, it'll just, like, notify me. Hey, by the way, jerk, guess who died today?
Regis Philbin.
Yeah, thanks, phone. Great. Thanks, Apple.
Awesome. So you sent me this New York Times article, No Longer in Shadows, Pentagon's UFO Unit, which came... This is weird timing because that article... came from a Senate meeting on June 3rd, which feels like a year ago, but that was only a month ago at this point, month and a half. And in that, we'll get to it later, but in that Senate committee meeting, there were several things said about the UFOs, the Pentagon's UFO unit, basically, and nothing came out until, this was like July 17th or something, the New York Times came out with this. Maybe the 23rd? I don't remember. But it just like sat there, ripe for the pickings, and then New York Times comes along on July 23rd and says, hey, the Pentagon has a unit studying UFOs here in the year 2019. And we have talked about UFOs before. What was that episode called, John?
That was called... Close the tab. Oh my god, I knew this would happen. Oh my god, everyone's listening.
I just want to make you look as bad as I'm making myself look.
8 instances of totally real UFO activity.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about people's stories about having seen UFOs and like, I don't know, massive astral phenomenon and all that kind of stuff. But this is a little bit different because now we're going to talk about how the U.S. government has tracked UFOs throughout the ages. believe it or not, I think we talked about this in that last episode. It wasn't until 1947 that the flying saucer was named. Do you remember this at all?
Yeah, it was in Italy.
Uh-huh.
And my great-great-great grandmother Pesapane,
yeah,
basically said, "Hey, Steven, you want some gravy with your antipasta?" And then he's like, "Nah, Ma, I already ate." And she threw the saucer across the room.
Yeah.
And that's how the term was coined, because it hit little Stevie on the head.
Yeah.
And he became a scientist. And I remember it like it was yesterday, Nicholas.
Yeah, and 20 years later, he became an astrophysicist. And he's like, anti-pasta, more like anti-gravity. Am I right, guys?
Hey! Zing!
So this was back in 1947. There was this guy named Kenneth Arnold. We talked about the Kenneth Arnold sighting.
Don't trust someone with two first names, but
just think about it. He probably has three because he has a middle name too. Like Kenneth,
his middle name
John
is probably
Arnold.
Something like Ricky or yeah, like some kind of real first, like Richard.
Yeah, know? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't trust a man with three first names.
Let's see what he did. Tell me what he did before we rush to judgment.
There was at the time there was this transport plane that belonged to the Marine Corps that went down somewhere around Mount Rainier in Washington. And the Marine Corps was offering $5,000 to anyone that could find the wreckage of the craft, which is about $58,000 today. Kind of a lot of money. That's like a year's salary for a lot of people. And as it happens, there was an amateur pilot named Kenneth Arnold, and he was flying over Washington to go to an air show in Oregon. He was just like a hobby pilot. And he heard about this, the reward that the military or the Marine Corps was offering. And he's like, you know what? I'm on my way. I'm just going to see what I can find. So he's flying around Mount Rainier in Seattle, around that area. And long story short, he sees these 9 flashes of blue light go zipping by him. And if I remember our previous episode, there was like a prospector on the mountain or something that corroborated his story. And at first he thought that they were just geese. But then later on, he described the blue light and stuff and described them, their movements like a saucer if you skip it across the water. And the newspapers grabbed that and ran with it, and the flying saucer was born. Jonathan, your story was wrong.
Oh, well, that can't be true.
Can't
but,
win them all.
You know, it's a little Schrodinger's box.
Yeah.
I'm always right, but I don't have any facts.
I don't think that's how it works. But as it happens, this period in time was a hot time to be a UFO in the United States. There was the Battle for Los Angeles in 1942. The Kenneth Arnold was 1947. In the same year, Roswell happened. For more details on those, go listen to our other episode if I haven't plugged that enough thus far. But like I mentioned before, one thing we didn't talk about in that episode is the many government projects that have funded UFO research. Now, John, before we begin, maybe we talked about this last time. What are your thoughts on UFOs?
I think they're flying. I don't know what they are. And I think they're probably objectified.
Oh, objectified. Not the route I thought you were going to go.
Little twist at the end there.
Yeah. Why do you think that they're objectified? You think people
mostly that they're
shape?
I think that they are, a lot of people will just like judge UFOs by their shape,
yeah.
But I think that they do come in all shapes and sizes, and we need to be a little more open-minded.
I think,
you
that's
know,
fair.
You got like flying balls in the sky, you got flying saucers, you got like sticks and stuff. I've seen all kinds.
Right. You have seen a UFO then. You've seen all kinds.
On YouTube.
Oh, well, you can trust everything you see on YouTube. Everyone knows that. So, the year after Kenneth Arnold and Roswell happened, this is 1948 for those keeping track at home, the U.S. government launched Project Sign, or Project Saucer as it was originally called, because
it's right, starring Mel Gibson, right?
Project Sign. Maybe that's where they got the
signs?
Name. Signs. He was in that. And Joaquin Phoenix was in that. Or sorry, I gotta say his name correctly.
Joaquin
Phoenix. And okay. The Project Sign, or Project Saucer, was an effort by the U.S. military to just investigate what they figured at the time was like Russian aircrafts. The Cold War was starting to gear up, and they figured that the Russians had built something that they couldn't identify with their naked eye, so they made this project to make
sure. Or their clothed eye.
Say that
Let's
again?
Be honest. Or their clothed eye, let's be honest.
Oh, I see. That took me way longer than it should have. I'm a little slow on the get up today. they wanted to make sure it wasn't a risk to national security, and that lasted about a year. After that came Project Grudge, which you're not up on your horror movies, I found out, because when I made the sound, you had no idea. And I think there's also like a boy that meows like a cat. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I keep wanting to say Otep or Otaku, and that's a company and a metal band. But what was the original name of the Grudge?
Grudge.
Again,
I don't know.
Confusing it with the Ring. I have no idea.
Ringu. But this program went from foreign aircrafts being the primary explanation to extraterrestrial aircrafts being the explanation. And this project, Project Grudge, went on from 1949 to 1952. And the main thing that they found was that we don't have to worry about any foreign governments having aircrafts that is a threat to national security.
Now, to make sure that this episode flows, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it was Ju-on. The Japanese name of the Grudge.
Thank you. I'm glad that you had that right, ready to go.
Yeah, immediately.
So
I'm quick, fast,
snappy. You know how to Google. You got them fast fingers. what was it called on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Wasn't it like Fast Fingers or something?
Fast Fingers.
Yeah, where they like they had to buzz in. They had to like get the things in order. It's like Fast Fingers or something.
I think it was called Flaming Phalanges, but I don't remember.
Someone in chat will know.
Rest in peace, Regis.
So anyway, by the time Project Grudge closed down, they said all evidence and analysis indicate that reports of unidentified flying objects are the result of 1, misinterpretation of various conventional objects, 2, a mild form of mass hysteria and war nerves, 3, individuals who fabricate such reports to perpetrate a hoax or to seek publicity, or psychopathological persons. So they cracked up every UFO sighting as some sort of either like, hey, that's just a plane and you didn't know what a plane looked like, or you were looking for attention or something like that. You wanted to have some sort of hoax. You can find all the documents pertaining to Project Grudge on the U.S. Air Force's website if you are interested.
Which we'll put in show notes, right?
Yes, they are in our show notes on wherever you're listening to us. And even though they decided we're fine, there's no threat to national security, the U.S. wasn't satisfied. So in 1952, they initiated Project Blue Book, not to be confused with Kelly Blue Book, although I'm sure that they'd tell you the value of your car if you asked them. It lasted until 1969, when it was going on. The Air Force denied that it ever existed. I tripped myself up there.
I know, and you didn't even say that. This blue book identifies the cost of UFO, but whatever, we'll let that one slide too.
Yeah, well, that's what you're here for, to pick up my slack.
Appraisal.
So, anyway, the U.S. Air Force denied that it ever happened, and in those 17 years when it was going on, they collected 12,618 reports of UFOs. And I know you love big numbers, but I say that because later on I'll make you guess how many you think that they don't have explanations for. But this was a committee that went out and tried to find explanations for the reports that they received. And according to an article on Mental Floss, each U.S. Air Force base had someone whose job it was to receive these UFO sightings, and then a committee would go out and investigate them. And they had a series of prompts that they'd ask these people reporting the UFO sightings. And there were things like, you sound like you had a question.
Yeah, I was wondering what the budget was for the basements that they had to build in these facilities so that people can live in their basements, let their beards grow, and then investigate UFOs and the conspiracy theory channels in between World of Warcraft sessions.
Oh, World of Warcraft wasn't invented yet, but
okay,
that's the only problem I have with that. So when people would report UFOs, they had several questions they would ask. Some of the questions would be like, draw a picture that will show the shape of the object or objects. What was the condition of the sky? Did the object suddenly speed up and rush away at any time? Change shape? Flicker? Throb? Pulsate? Starting to get a little sexual and uncomfortable? Mm. But in the end, they found that 1, no UFO reported, investigated, and evaluated by the Air Force has ever given any indication of threat to our national security. So they're not worried about like Russia coming up with some cool
blasty blast UFOs with laser beams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2, there has been no evidence submitted to or discovered by the Air Force that sightings categorized as unidentified represent technological developments or principles beyond the range of present-day scientific knowledge. So they basically said any UFO that people did see, like, we could build that ourselves. And then three, there has been no evidence indicating that sightings categorized as unidentified are extraterrestrial vehicles. So if you believe what the government says, there was no alien crafts in all 12,618 of these. Most explanations that they came up with, do you want to take a guess of what they came up with?
Weather balloons, like our old episode.
Yeah, a lot of them were weather balloons, some sort of explainable aircraft, like they said in their statement, or an astronomical phenomenon. And that being said, their explanations are open to scrutiny. For instance, again from Mental Floss, in 1965, Oklahoma police, the Tinker Air Force Base, and a local meteorologist using weather radar independently tracked four unexplained flying objects under a person's advisement, the leader of Project Blue Book at the time. Project Blue Book would claim that these witnesses had simply observed the planet Jupiter. The problem with this explanation? Jupiter wasn't
Jupiter
even visible.
Jupiter doesn't exist.
Jupiter is fake. The Earth is flat. No, Jupiter wasn't visible in the night sky. So they came up with this explanation that makes no GD sense. And there was also famous criticism from the one astronomer that they had consulting them. Not astrologer, astronomer. Astronomer's the one that like actually deals with proof and stuff. But they had one guy consulting for him. And a year before the project was closed, he said, "The staff of Blue Book, both in numbers and in scientific training, is grossly inadequate. There is virtually no scientific dialogue between Blue Book and the outside scientific world. The statistical methods employed by Blue Book are nothing less than a travesty."
Hmm.
I don't think it's a coincidence that they shut down a year later. So yeah. Out of those 12,618 cases, there are still some left unexplained. Do you want to take a stab at how many?
Four.
Nailed it. No, it's 701.
I was gonna do some math.
Yeah.
You didn't let me finish, but seven, yeah.
Four plus
390 something.
Yep. So all of this documentation is available on 94 rolls of microfilm at the National Archives. But if you can't make it to the National Archives, you're in luck, because there's a website that you can dive into all of the Project Blue Book documents. And that's blue.
Yeah, and those ones come without sneezes on them.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to stay germ-free.
Especially in 2019. You can go to bluebookarchive.org for those. It's also in our show notes. But a lot of UFO researchers have utilized this to scrutinize the claims and the research done on those 12,618 UFO sightings. But between 1969 NICE and now, there's been very little in activity. At least there's been radio silence from the U.S. government, and rightfully so. I want to get this out and in the open.
I didn't know you were such a neo-lib shill, Nicholas.
That's my middle name. My parents had a lot of foresight. How do I say this? I've been accused of being indoctrinated by the U.S. government by my brother-in-law, and I refuse to agree with that. But I will say, to the U.S. government's defense...
Detriment?
No, defense.
Okay.
There is a good reason to want to keep any evidence of UFOs silent. One of them is to... a lot of people will say like they want to prevent mass hysteria, but I disagree. The main ones that I can think of is if a lot of these videos come from naval pilots, you can reveal a lot of tactics that our military uses to spy on other militaries, or the technology that we have available if those end up in those videos. The second one is if people found out the government had spent $22 million funding various studies, some of which were called things like traversable wormholes, stargates, and negative energy, people would be like, my tax money is being spent on what?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of good reasons to keep it hidden. Anyhow, in between 1969 NICE and now, there's been a few notable happenstances. Namely, when Jimmy Carter was running for president in 1976, he promised that he would release anything that he could about UFOs. And the reason that he did that is because he famously claimed that he had seen a UFO in 1969. Nice. He was in Leary, Georgia, when he saw something, quote, very bright with changing colors and about the size of the moon. The object hovered about 30 degrees above the horizon and moved in toward the Earth and away before disappearing into the distance. And there was, like, at least a dozen people there that corroborated the story. They saw it as well. And he went on to win the presidency, but unfortunately, he didn't release anything about UFOs because he said that it might have defense implications, like I had mentioned before. The other important thing that happened between, this happened between the years of 2007 and 2012, the Defense Intelligence Agency spent $22 million on the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And they say it was shut down in 2012, but many sources say that the program is either still going on today or just has been renamed and moved to like a different room or floor or something.
It's got to be so hard to keep track of that stuff.
I know.
If it's internal and secret anyway, even though it's all publicly funded.
Yeah. Well, again, there's good reason to keep this stuff hidden. I'm going to get into some of that. The main purpose of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, I'm just going to call it the TIP, which stands for Threat Identification Program. They basically wanted to see if other foreign governments were developing aerospace crafts that would be a threat to us. Same story that they've given us a lot of time. That being said, there were many political proponents that were fine with the program because they also hoped that it would prove that extraterrestrials had come to Earth. And most of the money that went through TIP went to one company whose job it was to review several videos of UFOs and research other claims of UFO sightings. The program also funded 38 research projects that I hinted at before. Some of them sound normal. They're called things like materials for advanced aerospace platforms, quantum computing, quantum computing and utilizing organic molecules in automation technology. But then some of them have awesome, crazy names like traversable wormholes, stargates and negative energy, or warp drive, dark energy, and the manipulation of extra dimensions. And after the break...
Now on Netflix.
Yeah. After the break later on, I want to read some more of the titles to you. But what's notable about this program is the guy who owns the company that did like a bunch of the UFO research, Robert Bigelow, has been on record saying...
Male gigolo?
He is a male gigolo.
Okay.
I don't want to...
Is that defamation?
I retract my statement. He's been saying that he's convinced that aliens exist and have visited Earth. There's also people that have been a part of the program that have looked at some of the aerospace technology in these videos, and they say that's nothing that we could build with our current technology. And these are people that are reputable. These are people that have done loads and loads of research. They're experts in their field. They're naval officers. They don't have any reason to make this stuff up. But you might remember in the far off past of 2017 and 2018, several videos of naval pilots witnessing UFOs. You remember when those came out?
Yeah, we're like, dude, oh my god, bro, holy crap, bro.
That's bro. Kind of what they sound like.
So yeah, they did.
as recently as September 2019, the Navy said that they weren't cleared for public release. So those were all leaked out. They weren't official videos. Then back in April.
But then
April,
they were.
Yes. Yeah. So back in April, a lot of people were like, 2020, now there's aliens. The reason that they were saying that is because the Navy finally said the videos do not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems and does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomenon. So they released the videos. There's three of them that are now available on their website, which is navair.navy.mil/FOIA/documents.
Gotta work on that Earl.
I know. So there's no official explanation given as of yet, as of our recording. But they did say that one of the reasons for declassifying these videos is because they were floating around and they didn't want people wondering, are these real? Are these fake? And they figured they'd better just come out and say, yeah, these are actually real. They weren't a hoax. They weren't CGI. It wasn't anything like that. These are actual naval pilots who saw some sort of unidentified flying object. Doesn't matter the source, still unidentified. Could be extraterrestrial, yeah. Could be Russian, who knows, could be North Korean, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
But then you jump forward.
I wonder if it's American.
It could be.
And just a different branch that we don't know.
Yeah, like it, a lot of sources at the time, like in 2017, again, there's been no official explanation, but they're like, it could just be drone technology. Like Saudi Arabia could be experimenting with drones, and we just haven't identified what it is yet.
What a terrible thing to get caught for and start a war or something, though. Yeah. You know? A little risky.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's a private company.
Right.
Like it, yeah. It's more like it'd be like a Musk or something like that, like an Elon Musk.
Some sort of Tony Stark making the memes, you know. So back on June 3rd, I think I mentioned this at the top of the episode, the Senate passes, well, more specifically, I wasn't this specific before, the Senate passed the Intelligence Authorization Act of 2020. And all that, it's fancy word to say that they authorized funding to the U.S. intelligence committees. But they had like this huge report. You can go out and read it on how certain intelligence committees were to utilize their funding. And in that report, they stated that the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force was supposed to standardize collecting and reporting on UFO reports, but they also were supposed to declassify some of the program's findings within 180 days. So that's what I was saying before. This came out on June 3rd. I don't know why it took a news source like a month and a half to report on it, but I guess it... I assume that document
There's a
is,
lot of other stuff going on right now, and they just like... Bam, you got to come up for air from this COVID thing.
That's true. What I was going to say is I'm sure that there's a lot of just really boring stuff in that article. And they're like, there's no news in here. And then they set it down and then like they come back and they're like, wait a second.
They got that poll quote that everyone's been talking about that guy said, we can't say that this is these materials are from this world or something, right?
Yeah. So expect some sort of communication within 180 days of June 3rd. So by November 30th, we'll have some sort of findings from the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force.
We'll have a new president and aliens are real.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. My dad's America. Birthday is in November, which actually the reason that I wanted to do this episode is because you sent me that article. And then on this week's Limited Cell, we somehow got on the topic of aliens, and my dad's like, did you see all that stuff coming out? And I was like, yeah, John sent me something. He was like, something big is going to come out of it. I can just feel it. Something big's going to happen. And I was like, okay, Dad. But, yeah, how do you feel? Do you think that existence of aliens confirmed?
No way. Absolutely not. Sorry. Oh. This is a clickbait. This is a clickbait episode. Here's the thing, Nicholas.
Yeah.
It's fun to imagine these types of things.
Yeah.
And everything's in chaos right now. We didn't think COVID would be a big deal, and it was. So that's like as a humanity.
Yeah.
So to expect something like that at this point, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't care anymore.
Just, I know.
Everything's on fire.
Hey.
So I think that's the mindset. But if you buckle down and look into it, I think there's still a long, long time. And if in our lifetimes we find anything, I think it's going to be like bacteria first on a planet or something.
Yeah, ferns or something. I think you hit the nail right on the head. Like, this is the perfect time for if the government is worried about like mass hysteria, this is the time to release information because everyone will be like, yeah, we know. No one's going to freak out.
No one's going to be shocked.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's interesting to think about, but I don't think anything has been here. I think that it's the same thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago, but it was in a more medical vein. We were talking about miracles and how people miraculously come out of comas or a tumor miraculously goes away. Just because we can't explain it doesn't mean that there's not an explanation there. So there
might same thing with the sun being a light god.
we had to figure it out. You're exactly right. So eventually we'll figure out what the explanation is. The other thing is we'll probably go out into the universe and find some trees on a planet or something. That will also be rad.
I think what's equally as exciting, though, is the fact that even with Occam's razor, if it's likely that it's us doing something, that's still an interesting thing to learn about. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a private company or an independent like tech company doing some kind of weird military stuff,
or Tony
some kind of like legit time travel thing. Like if that's, but I don't think you could go back in the past. You can only go forward.
Either. Unless a time travel device is already created and you can link the two. You ever hear that theory that you can time travel back to when the time
Yeah, in fact, Nicholas, I funded it. I funded it with my tax money. It's called the tape wormhole dark matter something that you said.
Hey, thanks for bringing us back around. After the break, I want to read some more of these titles of studies funded by the U.S. government, which means we'll be right back. John, where can people find us?
StrangerStillShow.com.
You can also leave us a review on your preferred listening app. Something came up the other day. I'm going to plug my other podcast again here, Limited Cell. Someone said, you have reviews on the UK iTunes. And I was like, I have no idea how to access that. So I'm sorry if you're in another country and you left us a review and we haven't read it. It's not because we ignored it. It's because we don't know how to see it. So I'm still looking into that.
Let's get some screen caps from Jason Lee.
Yeah.
And we'll read those next episode. So, yeah.
Yeah, that massively helps us out. The other thing you can do is go to our Facebook page, Stranger Still, or group. Oh my God. Facebook.com/group/Stranger Still. Like us on there. And then if you want to watch us live, it's uncut and a little bit friskier. It's raw. You can see our beautiful setups behind us and our not so beautiful setups. Yours is just a wall, let's be honest.
Yeah, all the beauty's up front, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. All my beauty's in back. And I'm talking about my tushy. So that is one way to just come and hang out and have fun with us. Yeah. Maybe we'll play
or comment live. Like, we're starting to get a little more interaction, you know?
Yeah, we're getting better at this thing. So, anyway, do you want to hear about these 38 studies that the U.S. government funded?
Please, and thank you.
I don't know how long it's going to take to go through all of these, but I kind of just want to read all of them to you.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah.
All right. Inertial.
There's no joke. Just do it.
Yeah. Inertial electrostatic confinement fusion. Advanced nuclear propulsion for manned deep space missions. Pulsed high power
Man deep or manned man deep space?
Yeah. Okay. Pulsed high power microwave technology. Now you can make sure the center of your hot pocket is warm. Space access. It's just the name of that one. Advanced space propulsion based on vacuum space-time metric engineering.
Wish I had one of those for my dog hair.
I know. Biosensors and biomems. Invisibility cloaking. That'd be nice.
A little Harry Potter-ish. Yeah.
Traversable wormhole, stargates, and negative energy. I've talked about that one enough. High-frequency gravitational wave communications. So that's kind of what we were talking about. Oh, I don't think that made the show. Technology to communicate with life light years away. Role of superconductors in gravity research. Anti-gravity for aerospace applications. That'd be great. Field effects on biological tissues. Positron aerospace propulsion.
Can you imagine using a biological tissue? Like, you sneeze and it's just like...
It's just skin.
Yeah. You gotta blow your little nostrils into that fella.
It's like the moisturize me girl from Doctor Who.
Defund that one.
Yeah. I said that one. Concepts for extracting energy from the quantum vacuum. An introduction to the statistical Drake equation. Maverick.
Yeah, how did he get so many views on his videos?
Yeah. I don't understand this next one. Maverick inventor versus corporate inventor. Hi, Garrison. Garrison's late. Glad to have you anyway. Biomaterials.
You know, I'm glad you don't lock the door like a professor and just stop people from coming in at a certain point.
Metamaterials and aerospace applications. Warp drive, dark energy, and manipulation of extra dimensions. Technological approaches to controlling external devices in the absence of limb-operated interfaces.
I think that one's about sex. But
I think that's just a fancy way of saying you control things outside of a vehicle. Materials for advanced aerospace platforms. Metallic glasses. Who knows what that is?
Can you imagine if your glasses weren't made of plastic?
You could see through metallic, aerospace applications.
They get really hot in the sun.
Hang on, this one's really cool. Aerospace applications for programmable matter. This next one, I got
like nanobots?
I think so. Beetleborgs or something. This next one is metallic spintronics. And I had to look up what spintronics were because it sounds like a band or something. They're a portmanteau, meaning spin transport electronics, also known as spin electronics. Is the study of the intrinsic spin of the electron and its associated magnetic moment. in addition to its fundamental electronic charge in solid-state devices.
A lot of Google Images infographics that really confuse you more.
Yeah, it doesn't help. Space communication implications of quantum entanglement and non-locality.
Isn't that what happened to Will Smith? Yo, quantum entanglement? Okay, other people will get it.
I've my brain is split in two ways right now. Aneutronic fusion propulsion number one. There is a second one. I won't say that, but cockpits in the era of breakthrough flight, cognitive limits on stimulus control of multiple unmanned spacecraft.
Like the cognitive limit on the spacecraft, or, oh man, I can't even think about how fast the spacecraft's going to be.
I think it'd be one person controlling multiple spacecrafts out in space, I guess.
With their cognition?
Yeah. Detection and high resolution tracking of vehicles at hypersonic velocities. Laser light craft nano satellites. Oh my god, this one's hard to say. Luckily they abbreviate to MHD. It's magnetohydrodynamics, air breathing propulsion and power for aerospace applications.
Oh sick. Could you imagine being in space and you're like
I mean that is how it works.
and propel backwards.
Yeah. Quantum computing and utilizing organic molecules in automation technology, quantum tomography and negative energy states in the vacuum, ultracapacitors as energy and power storage devices, negative mass propulsion and state-of-the-art and evolution of high-energy laser weapons. That's pretty sweet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I can't wait till this is all public, too, and then we can watch some YouTube videos about them.
I know. Once people can dive into them. Actually, well, this was like a list sent from like John McCain, I think, using the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, oh, okay.
A long time ago.
John McCain, big progressive hero.
I mean, compared to other, we don't need to get political here. I think that means that's the end of this episode. What do you think?
I think I'm John Began still.
I'm Nick Wood still.
And this is Stranger Still.